Well, hello again. Tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. Last time I spoke a bit about grace. Do you remember that? And we discovered that there's a huge contrast between law and grace. For example, the law tells us what we should do, but the gospel tells us what God has done. The law says, let's do, and you shall live. But grace says, live, and you shall do. And the law says, pay me now what you owe, but grace says, I freely forgive you every debt. The law says, the wages of sin is death. But grace replies, and the gift of God is eternal life. The law is God's word of demand, but grace is God's word of deliverance. The law insists that we must love the Lord with all our heart, mind, and strength. Deuteronomy 6:5, check it out. Mark 12:30. But grace takes us away from the guilt of our inability to love God with everything. And he says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son as the propitiation. That's the wrath offering for our sins. 1 John 4:10. Oh, what a contrast. We also learned last time that under the law, when they made the burnt offering, the fire consumed the offering. Check it out in Leviticus 2, 1 to 16 and Leviticus 6, 14 to 23. Now, in the gospel, however, it's not the fire that consumes the offering, but the offering who consumes the fire. Yeah. Under the law, when they made the burnt offering, the fire consumed the sacrifice, and the sacrifice was gone, never to be seen again. But in the gospel, the sacrifice rose from the dead, having endured our judgment. All claims and all charges made against us have been answered in righteousness. They've been settled by Christ at the cross. He destroyed the fire of judgment. So today, let's continue to examine grace and look now at grace inexhaustible, or inexhaustible grace. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9 says, for by grace have you been saved. Oh, I love that. You've been saved. It's already done. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith's how you get a hold of it. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, let me ask you a wee question. Have your eyes been opened to the beautiful truth of God's inexhaustible grace? Once we discover this marvelous truth, we give a big sigh of relief and a big thank you, Jesus. Inexhaustible grace teaches us that God in Christ is for us. Did you hear that? He's for us. He's not against us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, 31, part B. Inexhaustible grace informs us that God is not out to get us. Did you hear that? He is not out to get us. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. Oh, inexhaustible grace teaches us that our access into heaven is not dependent upon how good we are, but upon the goodness of the Lord Jesus. We can never exhaust the truth of grace. Grace never runs out. Now, Dr. David Dykes, a great preacher, he tells of how there was once a lady in her mid-80s who had never seen the ocean and was always wanting to go and see it, but she lived in Tennessee. She'd never been out of the state of Tennessee. Well, her friends said, look, she's old enough to, come on, let's put her in a van. And they put her in a van, they drove 10 or 12 hours from Tennessee down to the Gulf of Mexico, and they parked as close as they could to the beach, and then they lifted the lady out of the van in a wheelchair and took her to the top of a sand dune, and The woman sat there in amazement. And as the tears streamed down her wrinkled cheeks, she turned to her friends and said, "It's so good to find something that there is enough of." Wow. The ocean, you know what? It's just like grace. Not only is there enough of it, but there's more than enough of it. We have abounding grace. A child may carry off some ocean water in its bucket. You think he's in danger of draining the ocean dry of his wee bucket? No, he's no more in danger of draining the seven seas than we are of exhausting the vast reservoirs of grace that God has for us, has for you. Are you a believer? He has vast reservoirs of grace for you. There's more than enough grace for us today. Hi, and every day. So let's read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 again. "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not by works, lest any man can boast." Now, did you notice the prepositions in this verse? Prepositions are very important. I have a friend, Dr. John Vonville, and he says, profound theology is always found in the prepositions. Now notice, therefore, that we are saved not through grace, but by grace. We're saved by grace. That means no contributions can be made by us to add to the grace. Yeah, listen, you want to know what grace means? I know we have a lot of mature listeners to this and some who are just getting started. But there's a very simple, well-traveled way to remember the word grace. Grace means God's riches at Christ's expense. That's not bad. That's a pretty good definition. God's riches at Christ's expense. So what are God's riches? Well, they include his love, his forgiveness, his adoption, his mercy, and all the blessings that he has for us. But those riches are not cheap. They are without cost to us, but they were costly to the precious Lord Jesus Christ. They were terribly expensive for him. They cost him his life's blood, the blood that flowed from his veins, and our blessings were purchased at tremendous expense to the Lord Jesus. It's as if the Father in heaven says, "Hey, listen to me. You didn't buy the right to enjoy these riches. You didn't work for them. You don't deserve them. You didn't earn them. But I'm going to give them to you anyway because I love you. My son, the Lord Jesus, has already paid the expense for them." Wow, that's grace. And we are living in it. We're surrounded by it. Oh, are we swimming in it? No, swimming requires too much work. We're in grace. Someone asks, well, what's the difference between grace and mercy? Well, the first thing I want to say is that grace and mercy are not interchangeable words. Let's consider the difference between them. They are really two different sides of the same coin. Okay, so they're related, but they're different sides. Grace, listen, that's where God gives us what we don't deserve, blessings. And mercy, on the other hand, keeps us from getting what we do deserve, damnation. Oh, let's expand on this. Grace is when God undeservedly acquits us of every charge that was ever made against us. Before we were believers, we were spiritually dead. We were enjoying depravity, disobedient, and doomed. What we deserved was eternal doom and separation from God. And we are said to be justified, declared not guilty, freely by God's grace. In other words, we never worked for it. It was a gift. We don't repay gifts. Did you hear me? We don't repay gifts. They are free. By God's gift, we are saved. And there are those who teach that we earn the forgiveness of sins through our good works. But this is error. Grace is a gift. We didn't have to work for it in the past, and we don't have to work for it in the present. And we won't have to work for it in the future. It's a gift, a gift, a gift. As for mercy, well, it's a favorite pastime nowadays to claim our rights. Everybody's got their rights. We hear people say, I'm not getting what I deserve. I deserve better than this. Well, let me tell you, if we got what we deserved from God and he didn't interpose mercy, we would all be damned. I like the story of the lady who went into the photographer, and the photographer's philosophy was, where there's beauty, we take it, and where there's none, we make it. And he took the lady's picture, and afterwards she looked at it and said, I don't like this picture. It doesn't do me justice. And he said, lady, you don't need justice, you need mercy. Yes, mercy. That's what we need, not justice. Wow, since repetition is the price of learning, let's repeat it. When God gives us the opposite of what we deserve, he gives us grace. Mercy, on the other hand, is God withholding the punishment that we actually deserve. Grace says, you don't deserve love and forgiveness, but here it is. Mercy says, you deserve to die eternally, but I'll step in between you and the death sentence. We deserve to die. You may be listening to this and thinking that, oh, I'm a decent person. I don't merit God's punishment. But the Bible says, Romans 3:12, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Listen to me. Please listen. Jesus is our high priest. And he it is who sprinkled his own blood on the true mercy seat in heaven, the throne of grace. Check it out. Hebrews 9:23-26. Hebrews 9:23-26. Interestingly, the number of times that the Old Testament high priest had to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat was 7. Check it out. Leviticus 16:14. 7 is the number of perfection. This sevenfold sprinkling, therefore, prophetically points to Jesus' perfect sacrifice. And because the sacrifice is perfect, and because he is perfect, we who are in Christ have perfect standing forever before God. We deserve the death penalty for our sins, but God's grace and mercy says, I forgive my people. I've taken their punishment. Jesus took the punishment deserved and earned by our sins. We therefore will not be punished. That is mercy and it's grace. You can see them both in there. Jesus then opened the gates of heavenly favor for us. Yeah, that's grace. And we are living in it. And that's the gospel truth. Hey, thanks for being with me today on the short little broadcast. If you ever have any questions, write to me, miles@milesmckee.com. That's my email. If you want to hear... Well, hello again. Tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. Last time I spoke a bit about grace. Do you remember that? And we discovered that there's a huge contrast between law and grace. For example, the law tells us what we should do, but the gospel tells us what God has done. The law says, let's do and you shall live. But grace says, live and you shall do. And the law says, pay me now what you owe, but grace says, I freely forgive you every debt. The law says, the wages of sin is death. But grace replies, and the gift of God is eternal life The law is God's word of demand, but grace is God's word of deliverance. And the law insists that we must love the Lord with all our heart, mind, and strength. Deuteronomy 6:5, check it out. Mark 12:30. But grace takes us away from the guilt of our inability to love God with everything. And he says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son as the propitiation. That's the wrath offering for our sins. 1 John 4:10. Oh, what a contrast. We also learned last time that under the law, when they made the burnt offering, the fire consumed the offering. Check it out in Leviticus 2:1-16 and Leviticus 6:14-23. Now, in the gospel, however, it's not the fire that consumes the offering, but the offering who consumes the fire. Yeah. Under the law, when they made the burnt offering, the fire consumed the sacrifice, and the sacrifice was gone, never to be seen again. But in the gospel, the sacrifice rose from the dead, having endured our judgment. All claims and all charges made against us have been answered in righteousness. They've been settled by Christ at the cross. He destroyed the fire of judgment. So today, let's continue to examine grace. And look now at grace inexhaustible, or inexhaustible grace. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9 says, for by grace have you been saved. Oh, I love that. You've been saved. It's already done. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith's how you get a hold of it. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, let me ask you a wee question. Have your eyes been opened to the beautiful truth of God's inexhaustible grace? Once we discover this marvelous truth, we give a big sigh of relief and a big thank you, Jesus. Inexhaustible grace teaches us that God in Christ is for us. Did you hear that? He's for us. He's not against us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31, part B. Inexhaustible grace informs us that God is not out to get us. Did you hear that? He is not out to get us. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. Oh, inexhaustible grace teaches us that our access into heaven is not dependent upon how good we are, but upon the goodness of the Lord Jesus. We can never exhaust the truth of grace. Grace never runs out. Now, Dr. David Dykes, a great preacher, he tells of how there was once a lady in her mid-80s who had never seen the ocean and was always wanting to go and see it, but she lived in Tennessee. She'd never been out of the state of Tennessee. Well, her friends said, look, she's old enough to, come on, let's put her in a van. And they put her in a van. They drove 10 or 12 hours from Tennessee down to the Gulf of Mexico, and they parked as close as they could to the beach, and then they lifted the lady out of the van in a wheelchair and took her to the top of a sand dune, and the woman sat there in amazement. And as the tears streamed down her wrinkled cheeks, she turned to her friends and said, it's so good to find something that there is enough of. Wow. The ocean, you know what? It's just like grace. Not only is there enough of it, but there's more than enough of it. We have abounding grace. A child may carry off some ocean water in its bucket. You think he's in danger of draining the ocean dry with his wee bucket? No, he's no more in danger of draining the seven seas than we are of exhausting the vast reservoirs of grace that God has for us, has for you. Are you a believer? He has vast reservoirs of grace for you. There's more than enough grace for us today. Hi, and every day. So let's read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 again. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not by works, lest any man can boast. Now, did you notice the prepositions in this verse? Prepositions are very important. I have a friend, Dr. John Bonville, and he says, profound theology is always found in the prepositions. Now notice, therefore, that we are saved not through grace, but by grace. We're saved by grace. That means no contributions can be made by us to add to the grace. Yeah, listen, you want to know what grace means? I know we have a lot of mature listeners to this and some who are just getting started. But there's a very simple, well-traveled way to remember the word grace. Grace means God's riches at Christ's expense. That's not bad. That's a pretty good definition. God's riches at Christ's expense. So what are God's riches? Well, they include his love, his forgiveness, his adoption, his mercy, and all the blessings that he has for us. But those riches are not cheap. They are without cost to us, but they were costly to the precious Lord Jesus Christ. They were terribly expensive for him. They cost him his life's blood, the blood that flowed from his veins, and our blessings were purchased at tremendous expense to the Lord Jesus. It's as if the Father in heaven says, hey, listen to me. You didn't buy the right to enjoy these riches. You didn't work for them. You don't deserve them. You didn't earn them. But I'm going to give them to you anyway because I love you. My son, the Lord Jesus, has already paid the expense for them. Wow, that's grace. And we are living in it. We're surrounded by it. Oh, are we swimming in it? No, swimming requires too much work. We're in grace. Someone asks, well, what's the difference between grace and mercy? Well, the first thing I want to say is that grace and mercy are not interchangeable words. Let's consider the difference between them. They are really two different sides of the same coin. Okay, so they're related, but they're different sides. Grace, listen, that's where God gives us what we don't deserve, blessings. And mercy, on the other hand, keeps us from getting what we do deserve, damnation. Oh, let's expand on this. Grace is when God undeservedly acquits us of every charge that was ever made against us. Before we were believers, we were spiritually dead. We were enjoying depravity, disobedient, and doomed. What we deserved was eternal doom and separation from God. We are said to be justified, declared not guilty, freely by God's grace. In other words, we never worked for it. It was a gift. We don't repay gifts. Did you hear me? We don't repay gifts. They are free. By God's gift, we are saved. And there are those who teach that we earn the forgiveness of sins through our good works. But this is error. Grace is a gift. We didn't have to work for it in the past, and we don't have to work for it in the present. And we won't have to work for it in the future. It's a gift, a gift, a gift. As for mercy, well, it's a favorite pastime nowadays to claim our rights. Everybody's got their rights. We hear people say, I'm not getting what I deserve. I deserve better than this. Well, let me tell you, if we got what we deserved from God and he didn't interpose mercy, we would all be damned. I like the story of the lady who went into the photographer, and the photographer's philosophy was, where there's beauty, we take it. and where there's none, we make it. And he took the lady's picture, and afterwards she looked at it and said, I don't like this picture. It doesn't do me justice. And he said, lady, you don't need justice. You need mercy. Yes, mercy. That's what we need, not justice. Wow. Since repetition is the price of learning, let's repeat it. When God gives us the opposite of what we deserve, he gives us grace. Mercy, on the other hand, is God withholding the punishment that we actually deserve. Grace says, you don't deserve love and forgiveness, but here it is. Mercy says, you deserve to die eternally, but I'll step in between you and the death sentence. We deserve to die. You may be listening to this and thinking that, oh, I'm a decent person. I don't merit God's punishment. But the Bible says, Romans 3:12, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Listen to me. Please listen. Jesus is our high priest. And he it is who sprinkled his own blood on the true mercy seat in heaven, the throne of grace. Check it out. Hebrews 9:23-26. Hebrews 9:23-26. Interestingly, the number of times that the Old Testament high priest had to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat was seven. Check it out, Leviticus 16:14. Seven is the number of perfection. This sevenfold sprinkling, therefore, prophetically points to Jesus' perfect sacrifice. And because the sacrifice is perfect, and because he is perfect, we who are in Christ have perfect standing forever before God. We deserve the death penalty for our sins, but God's grace and mercy says, I forgive my people. I've taken their punishment. Jesus took the punishment deserved and earned by our sins. We therefore will not be punished. That is mercy and it's grace. You can see them both in there. Jesus then opened the gates of heavenly favor for us. Yeah, that's grace. And we are living in it. And that's the gospel truth. Hey, thanks for being with me today on the short little broadcast. If you ever have any questions, write to me, miles@milesmckee.com. That's my email. If you want to hear